Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. By the mid-1800s, the number of orphaned children on the east coast of the United States was exploding. Some were orphaned due to the death of their parents because of disease, and others were orphaned because of poverty or illness. Between 1854 and 1929, 200,000 orphans were loaded onto trains out of the cities of New York City, Boston, and Philadelphia, and shipped west throughout the United States. These were called orphan trains, and they would occasionally stop so the children could be let out onto the train platform where potential parents would come along and inspect the children. It was kind of like choosing players for a kickball team. The best, the strongest, would go first. The scrawny, the sickly, and the troublemakers would be chosen last, if chosen at all. If they were chosen, they had a new home. If they were not chosen, they got back on the orphan train. In a book called The Orphan Trained Rider, Lee Nayling's experience on that orphan train is detailed. After his mother died, his unemployed father struggled to support his children and eventually had to send his boys into an orphanage, later placing three of them, Lee Nayling, 8 years old, and his two younger brothers, on the orphan train. Before putting them on the train, Senior Nayling gave the young 8-year-old an envelope with his name and address on it and said, "When you get to your final destination, be sure to contact me." A few days into the train ride, the envelope was gone, never to be found again. Nayling had no idea how to contact his father, and for all he knew, his father never came looking for him. He never saw his father again. How does this pertain to us? Well, many times in this broken and sinful world, you and I feel like we're stuck on the orphan train. When you're rejected by an employer or by a friend or even a spouse or a family member who you thought loved you, you feel like you're back sitting on the train or kicked to the curb. These are only feelings, and there are better facts to dwell on. The fact that your Heavenly Father promises to never leave you nor forsake you. And unlike Lee Nayling's earthly father, your Heavenly Father always seeks you out. He comes after you, and he showers you with his loving, gracious gifts. We read that time and time again throughout Scripture. Shortly after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God came after them. They thought he was trying to find out the fact that they were naked. But God was there to cover the sin of their iniquity. In the Old Testament text this evening, God promises redemption for his people Israel, who are languishing in exile. But God has not forgotten them. He has not forgotten his covenant with them. He calls them by name because they are precious in his sight. He would send someone to lead them out of bondage. He gives them his word. But sometimes it's difficult for you and I to take God at his word. We ask, but what if God changes his mind? Or what if God changes the plan, the direction for his creation? We all know that God has every reason to do so. We all fall, we all stumble, we all sin. We rebel and mess all God's plans up every chance we get. It would be a wonder if God did not abandon us. Employers do, friends do, spouses do. Coaches kick players off of the team. And unfortunately, even parents abandon their children. We could just ask Lee Nailing, how do we know that God will not do the same? After all, he's holy and just. He's righteous. He is just the exact opposite of everything that we are. The good news is your Heavenly Father is not like a potential parent standing on the platform at the train station. Those parents inspecting children from the orphan train. You see, your Heavenly Father doesn't pick and choose based upon what you look like, what you can and cannot do, or what you have or have not done. He chooses based upon what his Son has already accomplished, what his Son has done in your stead. While you were still sickly, scrawny, and troublesome, your Heavenly Father sent his only Son into the world to reconcile you back with the Father. Scripture tells us that you are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. How do I get that faith? Where do I receive this faith so that I might believe? As good Lutherans, we know you received it in the holy waters of baptism. As those baptismal waters washed over you, God adopted you into his family. He chose you. Adopted children are chosen children. Sure, there are accidental pregnancies, but I don't think you're ever going to hear of an accidental adoption. He chose you. He chose you before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined you for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. In our world, people spend tens of thousands of dollars to adopt a child that they might love and care for. But your Heavenly Father has paid even more. He gave his only Son, who would go on to pay the price of your adoption with his precious blood, giving his very life, giving for you. He gave you the Word become flesh. He sent him into the world. To all who, receiving him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In baptism, you were born again, not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. Those baptismal waters washing over you was your Heavenly Father pouring out his Holy Spirit upon you. And from that moment on, you are no longer defined by the blood of your ancestors. You are defined by the blood of the Lamb, the Word become flesh. By the power of the Spirit, God now gives you power to lead that holy and blameless life. Yes, you will fall short. And when you do, your Heavenly Father covers you with the righteousness of his only begotten Son. That 8-year-old orphan, Lee Nailing, his father never came looking for him, but he was finally adopted. It took him 4 long months after his 2 younger brothers were adopted, but he finally found a home. There will be days, weeks, and possibly months when you too will feel abandoned, rejected by an employer or by family, by a spouse, by close friends, but focus on the one who chose you. The fact is, you are baptized. Christ, the Word become flesh, came into the world to save you from all your sickness and all your sickness of sin and your scrawniness of faith. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, your faith is strengthened and your sickness of sin is healed. At the font, your Heavenly Father adopted you and placed his name upon you, and he gave you the ability to believe in his only begotten Son. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God, who loves you and gave himself for you. You are a chosen, baptized child of Christ, chosen forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.